to Wandsville Christian Centre's podcast. I hope you enjoy this message.
So, I'm going to start off tonight, and the title of my message is In the Name of Jesus. That will become clear later. And I'm going to start off, I just want to discuss very quickly about the Trinity, or the Triune, depending on however you want to think of it. It's the Trinity, the idea that God is three in one. And you'll understand why I want to talk about this. So, we all know God, the Trinity is God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. But I want you to, instead of thinking it as a group, I want you to think of it laterally. And I want you to imagine that at first there was God, there was the first part. Then God, the Father, sent the Son. Okay, so we've got God, part one. God, the Father, then sends the Son, right? God the Father and the Son then leave the Holy Spirit to be with us. Okay? So it's in stages. So God empowered himself into a human being and became a man. They then left the Holy Spirit to empower us to be as to have the same spirit that worked in Jesus to work in us. Okay? The Trinity is not separate as a concept from us Christians. The Trinity in every sense of the word, encompasses and involves us. We are involved in that Trinity as the Holy Spirit is involved in our lives. Yeah, the Holy Spirit fills us. We are part of the Trinity. It is not a, it's not a concept away from us that we look towards. It's a concept that God brought together so we can be involved within the very pattern. Okay, so when you're thinking of how God moves, and he moves in the Father and the Son and the Spirit, we are in within that. It's not separate. We are involved, okay? So that's a real quick look into that, and we're going to come back to that. So do you want to, if you've got a Bible or someone on your phone, if you want to get to Luke 5, we're just going to read a bit of scripture in Luke 5. And this is where Jesus calls Peter, and we're going to look at Peter tonight. Give you a couple of seconds just to grab that. And if you're taking any, if you do take notes, if you want to just jot down, I'll give you my scriptures as we go through. So if you want Luke 5, are we all there? Right. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let the nets down." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken that day. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything and followed him. Okay, so that was a long bit of scripture, but that's fine. If there's any time that we can talk, we can read long scripture, it's in a church. So I thought if I was going to get away with it anywhere. So, If this was the 21st century now, we've got to think that this was a long time ago, and you've got to imagine what was going on at the time. Jesus was probably doing as he did at the beginning of his ministry. He stood around teaching people and all these blokes, and you can imagine that this wasn't a one-off display like it was in the Bible. For them, this was everyday work. You could imagine you've been at work, you've had a rubbish day. Not only that, you work for yourself. Wayne's got the rain's come down, it's snowed, he's got no windows cleaned, he ain't going to earn no money that week, right? He ain't going to be able to fix his van, he's still, right? It's gone wrong, it's all gone wrong, right? So them tidying away, them packing up, they're probably a bit fed up, talking amongst themselves, then Jesus decides that he's going to use one of their boats that they're trying to pack away, And it's a little bit inconvenient for them. So once Jesus has taught and he's let them wash their nets, he then tells them to go and put their nets back out. And you know as well as me, if you painted, if you've ever decorated, and I hate decorating, right? And you clean your brush, which I don't do very often because it rarely gets paint on it, right? But there's nothing worse than cleaning a brush full of paint because it takes ages. And then going, oh, you've missed a bit. And you've got to dip the brush in again. It's a pain. And you've got to imagine what these were like. But they said yes, they did it. It would have been a testing moment for them. And they go in and they catch all this fish and they think, this is brilliant. And then they think, Jesus asked them to be with them. And they think, we're going to have to keep this Jesus guy around us. Because look what happens when he comes. Like, and he's doing great for business. Do you know, I just wonder, the 21st century Simon Peter fishermen, whether they thought, tell you what, we'll follow Jesus because he's going to change people's lives, or whether the 21st century Simon Peter will go, let's follow Jesus because he knows how to make us money. And that's a serious point on my notes. How much of the time do we get involved with things because we see how it's going to benefit us? How many times do we get involved in church at projects because we see the benefit to us? We see we might be able to make a bit of money. Preaching might not be a bad old gaff because you can go out. You don't have to work during the day. You've only got to read a couple of scriptures. Go on Google, download a load of sermons, and then go out of an evening, preach a load, make a load of wedge, and call it a day. I have thought about it, yeah. My internet connection was too slow. Right? At first, Simon Peter, the awe of the encounter with Jesus and the elation that he should have felt by catching all them fish, he was terrified. And the first reaction to Jesus was, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. That encounter and that experience with Jesus for Simon Peter was one that he didn't realise how brilliant it's going to be around this guy. He didn't think that this was going to be a new chapter in his life where he's going to catch loads of fish, sell loads of fish, make a load of money. And walking from the old to the new isn't about what we can gain, okay? I know that might sound a strange thing to preach, but it's not about what we can gain. If Simon Peter was only on about what he can gain, his heart wouldn't have been in a place where I think Jesus would have used him. Because for Peter, the old to the new was about abandonment rather than gain. It was about everything that he was going to let go of rather than everything that he was going to get. Because when you could imagine, if you just won a massive contract at work, then the last thing you'd normally do in a normal businessman's mind would be to leave it, leave the lot and walk off and do something different. But this is what Peter did. Peter just came into some big money with so much fish that was rare to catch. And instead of using the natural mind and thinking, I've got to hang around this guy because I'm going to make loads of money, he felt unworthy. He felt full of sin. His sin was recognized within him and he abandoned the lot for the opportunity to follow Christ. The opportunity to follow Christ was far greater than anything he could have gained elsewhere. And that wasn't a realization to him. That wasn't an idea or a concept. That convicted him in his heart. That was an experience. That wasn't a great idea or a well-calculated thought. That was such an encounter and an experience that it changed the man's heart. Okay. Peter recognized something in Jesus that was worth leaving everything that he had simply to follow a man. And at that time, Peter didn't know the end of the story. At that time, Peter didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know Jesus was going to get crucified. I mean, he may have been aware. He would have been well up on the Old Testament. He would have been aware of all what the prophets had spoken before of. But at that time, Jesus was only establishing his ministry and he was willing to leave everything because of that experience. Grace is more than just an idea or a concept. And remorse is not repentance. Okay? Now, I'm aware that this might sound really hard. This, when I was writing it, it really challenged me, and I'm really hoping that it'll challenge you. Grace is not just a concept, and remorse is not repentance. When we first encounter or give our hearts to Christ, we experience salvation. We should step into grace. And in that encounter, just like I remember when I truly feel like I became a Christian, I remember that encounter. It truly changed me. It truly changed me. It was a true experience, one that I couldn't deny. And because of that experience, it totally changed the next step in my life. It totally changed what I was about to do. It was no longer about what I can get for me. It was about abandoning everything for the opportunity to follow Christ. Okay? There is a real concern in the Western Church that we can take the ideas of grace, we can take the idea and the concept of it and simply live by the idea of Christianity. Because who isn't intrigued by the thought that, oh, this is great, this is, I can kind of do what I like and God will forgive me. That's brilliant. So, I don't hear it much here, but I have heard people go, oh, it's all right, it's all under grace. It's all right, I can do it, it's all right, it's all under grace. God will forgive me, it don't matter. If grace is not a concept, it's an experience. That experience means that you naturally or supernaturally can no longer live and be in your heart, makes you not be able to even, I believe, not even think in that process. It makes you not even be able to think, I'm so glad I can do what I like because God's going to forgive me anyway. Peter didn't behave that way. When Peter denied Jesus, he was guilt-ridden. He was so upset. His reaction wasn't, it's all right. It's all under the grace of God. It don't matter that I denied him. He couldn't live with himself. He couldn't live with himself. Why? Because he experienced something greater, something deeper. The idea of Christianity is great, an idea to live by. It's great. Everyone likes to be able to help people. There's a word called Schadenfreude, which makes Esther laugh. Schadenfreude is a German word, which it means happiness at the misfortune of others. Right? And there is an element in humanity that when you help other people, it's the same as helping yourself. So if I do a good deed for someone, it makes me feel good. So other people's misfortunes give me the opportunity to be nice, kind, and in return, I feel great about it. Everyone loves to be that way. Everyone loves the idea of grace. Everyone loves the idea of being forgiven. Everyone likes the idea that there's a way back. But if that's the case, why do we have so many legalistic Christians? Why do we have people? Why aren't people running to the church doors every Sunday? Why do people walk away? Why does all this happen? Why aren't we living at the forefront? Have we really been transformed, like it says in Romans 12? Have you really been transformed? And if you was really transformed, are we that of Revelations 2:4, where it says, one thing I have against you, that is you forsaking your first love. Because I remember when I first encountered God, and other people that have been through the same experience, they look back at that time and they think, ah, to be back there again. So we know we've experienced it, but we can sometimes forsake it. Doesn't mean that we're not saved, but we forsake our true love, our first love. Have we really been transformed? And if we have, why are we not living that out? Why are we just thinking that grace is a good idea and a concept and it's brilliant to live by? Or are we experiencing grace? Because grace is a supernatural cleansing. It's a supernatural encounter. Not just simply being forgiven. It's to be wiped clean. You're born again. You're born anew. It is more than just a feeling. It's more than just a great way to live. Because a lot of people look at Christianity, they might get brought up in a Christian home and think, yeah, I agree with all of that. And that's brilliant, but it's just not for me, or I'm not going to go to church, or, yeah, but I believe it. You might, even the devil believes in God. Even the devil believes in the name of Jesus. But how many, the devil doesn't experience God's grace. You might believe in God's grace. The devil believes and knows that God's got grace, but he doesn't experience it. And if you continually feel condemned, convicted, guilt-ridden, and remorseful, you need to begin to think, have I truly experienced the grace of God? Because if you have, you'll know. You'll know, because it's transforming. Remorse is not repentance. Remorse is not repentance. The difference is, being remorseful is simply feeling bad about what's gone on. We can all feel guilty about what's gone on. We can all feel bad. But remorse is simply the feeling of doing things wrong. A person with that mindset will live under condemnation. They will not experience grace because they're not repenting. They'll not experience grace because they're not repenting. They simply feel guilty, or they feel they've done things wrong. And you'll continue to live under that. Repentance is about leaving behind everything and starting again as a new creation. Repentance is what Peter did. Repentance is kneeling down and saying, God, I am not worthy. I am not worthy. I am a sinful man. That is repentance. And then Jesus saying, well, come and follow me. Okay. Because we have to leave everything behind and be willing to leave everything in order to step into the new. We can't take it all with us. Okay. That, in that, don't think that if I become a Christian, does that mean I'm going to have to stop listening to heavy rock music? My uncle Paul used to not want to become a Christian because he didn't want to have to give up his wrestling. What happens? Do you think that 5 minutes before this miracle happened with Peter, he would have said, if someone had said to him, go and follow Jesus, do you think he would have said, but what about me fishing? I think he would have. It's all he ever knew. You don't think these can't go to college and go and do an MVQ in health and beauty. Right? This is all they knew. They would have been brought up this way. 5 minutes after, he experienced God. Then he experienced the fact that Jesus never told him to go away. Jesus told him to rise. And he abandoned everything and walked into the new. Who knows? He probably did a bit of fishing on the weekend. I didn't say that when they were out and they needed a bit of snap and they were on the boat. They go on, Peter. Catch us a trout. Don't know if they've had trouting, but they've had trouting. I've got to see that there were boy there. The Sea of Galilee. You never know. Catch us a Galilean carp, will you? Yeah. So do not hold back from repentance and abandonment because you fear losing. Do not hold back because you fear losing. Because you'll never understand true repentance, I don't believe. That's a bold statement, and I'll stand by it. Yeah. Repentance is different from feeling guilty and bad. We can all feel guilty. Non-Christians feel guilty. No, they're not repenting. They all feel bad. They sometimes want people to... It's not just Christians that, when they've done things wrong, ask people for forgiveness. It's not just our thing. And everyone else just loathes and hates each other. You know? But in that, every time they go, sorry, bro, I nicked your TV. Oh, it's all right, mate. They're not repented. That doesn't make them a Christian. Okay. Remorse is not repentance. So if you feel guilty, it's good that you're feeling, you recognize that something is not right. That's the first step. It is good to recognize that something's not right. And it's okay to feel that. Don't beat yourself up for feeling condemned or feeling guilty. But know this, it is not God's will for you to live under condemnation. It's God's will for you to repent, leave it all behind, and step forward as a new creation, transformed, and experience grace. Okay? Does this all make sense? I know it's kind of an obvious topic, but I'm trying to hopefully that it's a good way of thinking about it. Because I think you can forget it. You think, I'm a Christian. I don't need to hear about repentance and grace because I did all of that 20 years ago. You know, but you don't forsake your first love. The one thing that God has against you is that you've forsaken your first love. That's quite a chilling statement, I think, from God. That's not my words, that's God's words. The one thing I have against you, and feel that in your heart, one thing I have against you is that you've forsaken your first love. Let's move on to Peter on his way to the temple. Right, I've wrote all the scripture out here, and I haven't, it's in Acts. Is it 1? I thought it was 5. Is it 2? I thought it was 4 or 5. It's 3. Acts 3. Get to Acts 3. One of them. I was going to read it out my Bible, but I got it in size 12. Times New Roman. Carve it a bit in Times New Roman. Back in 1995. Right. If we're all there, I'll read this out. One day, Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 p.m. It's very specific, the Bible. I love it. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg for those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked him straight at him, and as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Right, so imagine it. Peter and John are going to the temple every day like they normally do. They always go to the temple. They're going for regular prayers at 3 o'clock. The man who's been crippled from birth goes and sits at the gate that he always does, that he always has done and always will do, and holds out his hand like he always has and he always will continue to, and asks for money, and they walk past him and decide to either give him something or not give him something. This happens next. Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Take him by the right hand. He helped him up. Instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking, jumping, and praising God. When all people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate. And they were filled with wonder and amazement. Right. Oh, quickly, I've got 2 more points, okay? The first point is this, and this is when he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, right, I don't want to sound blasphemous, and I don't want to sound wrong, or simply the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth doesn't heal people. Can I say that? Just did. Simply the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Because if it did, every time you go and watch Bruce Willis in Die Hard and he blasphemes or he says Jesus in a vain way, there'd be people jumping up out of their seats that were in wheelchairs. Every time people will be scared. Don't say the word. Things happen. Things happen when you say the word. You know? Otherwise, because, and let's be honest, we've all seen it happen in Jesus' name, it's our spiel. It's what we say in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, do you think Pim Peter said it, and they said it to him? They said it because it's what they say to everyone. What happened here is that he looks at him and goes, "Silver and gold I don't have." He's saying to the beggar that whatever I have as a man is no good to you. And this is the beautiful level playing field of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, as men and women, we have nothing to offer another man that's crippled. We have nothing. Our money's no good. We have nothing to offer. Peter, a disciple, says to this man, "I have nothing to offer you. But because I know what Jesus has done in me, he will also do in your life. Everything that I have owes and belongs to Jesus. I have nothing, but Jesus, the God in me the authority, because I know what he's done for me, he'll also do for you. And that's what I feel like saying when I sit with people sometimes. I know what Jesus has done for me. And because I know what he's done for me, I know what he can do for you as well. I have nothing to offer anybody. All I have to offer is everything that Jesus has given me. The only thing that I can contribute, if that in this church, the only thing that I can contribute, whether it be music or being able to talk, is not done in my own strength. All of that is Jesus and God's work. And my mum only reminded me of this last time I spoke, the other week, was that when I was a kid, I used to have to go to speech therapy. I had to have operations. I had cameras down my throat because I couldn't talk properly. I used to mumble. My dad used to have to take me to speech therapy. I used to get in trouble all the time for mumbling. I used to have constantly strained vocal cords. And now I stand here and preach. And every time I preach, I don't walk away from here thinking I'm brilliant. I really don't. Regardless of what nice comments that people might say, I never come here thinking that I've got this in the bag, this is easy. And I don't necessarily think that I'm any good. Believe you and me, I don't. And nothing that I have nothing to offer anybody here. But because I know what Jesus has done in my life, I know what he can do in your life. Silver and gold have I not, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because I know what that man, what God did in that man's body, because I know what he's done in my life over these last few years, I know what he can do in your life. Peter was changed. Peter was a different man. He recognized that he abandoned his entire life and recognized that he's just not even worthy. It is all about God. And everything I do is because of God. That is the difference. This is why I mentioned the Trinity at the start, is because just before this happened with Peter, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He was empowered. He was empowered earlier on in Luke 9:1, that Jesus gave them all power and authority. And then the Holy Spirit came and filled Peter. The difference when Peter went to the temple gate that day was that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. God had changed him from the inside. Jesus wasn't stood next to him. God wasn't in the sky. And the Holy Spirit weren't operating elsewhere, waiting for it to flow in. God was with him. God had sent Jesus. Jesus had gone to Peter. God and Jesus had left the Holy Spirit within Peter. Then Peter was able to do great things in their name. I wanted to give an opportunity as we close. If the band want to jump up. I want to give an opportunity for people that may not have received salvation. May not believe that they've received salvation. To come and pray with me. And we'll pray together. But my challenge really is that in that salvation, it's important that we realize that this isn't about simply saying a prayer or saying a name. This is about being willing to let go of everything because you're about to encounter God. You're about to encounter him. And I suppose I don't want to wishy-washy salvation and just say everyone run to the front and become a Christian. Because I don't think that's necessarily wise to create a generation of people that don't truly know what it is to encounter God and to truly experience God. So the front's open. And if you're like Peter, that Peter walked with Jesus first. And you may be walking with Jesus and you may have lost your first love. Or you may not know how it feels like to be there again. But you're ready. You want to be empowered to do great things in Jesus' name. If you want to be empowered, then we'll pray for you as well. Okay. So if we want to, we're going to leave the next part open. And I really challenge your heart. And if anything tonight, remember what true repentance is. Remember that grace is not just a concept, it's an experience, and it's life changing.
Thank you for listening to this week's message.